Welcome to The Ralph Report with Ralph Garman.
Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome to The Ralph Report for a Friday. You know, it's my favorite Ralph Report of the week because it means we're just about kicking off the weekend. Everybody loves them a weekend. It's so funny.
I don't know. You're so giddy every Friday.
I just love Fridays. Friday is full of just potential. Anything can go. The holiday is, the weekend is looming, and just, it's going to be awesome.
Just a steady rise all week, and then you burst on Friday.
Because Friday is the best.
You squirt, basically, on Friday.
I do. That voice you hear, of course, is the vice host himself, Mr. Eddie Pence.
Hey, everybody.
And I'm your old podcast pal, Ralph Garman, welcoming you to yet another mystical, magical adventure here with the Ralph Report. So happy to be with you on this Friday, the, 19th?
You got it.
All right.
Nailed it.
I nailed it. So far, so good. I should probably quit while I'm ahead, but we're going to keep going anyway. Good show today. Steve Ashton will be stopping by. Of course, Eddie and I will take a look at all the new movies that are going to be in the theaters this weekend. We're going to have another round of Who'd Ralph Play? We'll be talking about that later on. First, I want to kick things off. After this morning's show, the minute I'm done here, hopping on a plane, heading up north to America's Hat, Canada. They love being called
Do they like that? Yeah, they love it.
Going to Calgary. Tonight, if you happen to be in the Calgary area, Kevin Smith and I are performing Hollywood Babylon.
What does that make Mexico?
Boot. America's, okay. America's boot. Pants. Right. I don't know.
That was weird.
America's underwear. Mexico. Oh, God. Yeah, we're doing it at the Bella Concert Hall, which is at the Mount Royal University there in Calgary. I've heard some people say.
Cattle country.
Come on out and see the show. It's going to be a good time. For tickets, you can go to csmod.com. That's S-E-E-S-M-O-D.com. And speaking of shows, the following weekend, if you're in Southern California, it is Los Angeles Comic-Con weekend. Big deal here. And a lot of people coming in from around the country for the con. If you are one of those people, on the 26th of October, Kevin Smith and I are doing a double feature of Hollywood Babylon goodness at our home, The Improv, on Melrose there in Hollywood, California. We're doing a double feature. At 8 o'clock, we're doing Comic-Con Theater, where Kevin and I perform a comic book live on stage using my 8 different voices that I do. And then after that, the late show will be a full-blown Hollywood Babylon. So if you're in the area for the Comic-Con, come on out to the show at the Improv. Again, for those tickets, you can go to improv.com, click on Hollywood, or you can go to csmod.com. There you go. There you have all the answers to life's questions.
It's all your entertainment for the next 2 weeks.
That's right. It's all sussed out for you. Speaking of entertainment, I feel so bad. I neglected to ask you yesterday, how did the Cataclysm go?
It was a fun show. It was a really fun
Wednesday
show.
Wednesday night, Eddie had a show with our friend Brad Williams as well, and they were doing comedy for cats. He's now doing comedy, trying to make cats laugh. Well, that's where his career is.
It's difficult. Cats just stare at you like you're an idiot. So
what was the deal, actually? You get there Wednesday night, and then there's cats running around, and people got to play with the cats and listen to your comedy?
Apparently, in L.A., there's these things called cat lounges, where it's just a bunch of cats waiting to be adopted, hang out in this area, and people go there, and you can pay for an hour just to go play with these cats. And if you like one of the cats, you can adopt it.
Huh.
I guess they have a bunch of these in L.A.
So it's like rent-a-cat.
It's sort of like rent-a-cat for an hour. If you like it, take it home.
Hmm.
Something like that. And then my friend works for Care Rescue L.A., which is a rescue organization for animals, and she puts on this show once a month, once every 2 months at this play at the Cat Cafe Lounge, and she books lots of comics, and it's a fun show, and you perform for the people that pay to go look at the cats.
So the folks were there to spend some time with the cats, and they were also paying attention to you while you were doing comedy styling.
It's a way to bring in a bunch of people for an event, and then at the same time they can play with
them
the cats,
to the cats and maybe get some adopted out.
Or red, scratchy throat and eyes.
Yeah, because Eddie's allergic to cats.
But it was fun. Brad had a great set. I had a fun set. We had a couple people from the Garmy come up from Irvine.
Oh, how about that?
Garmy
Travels.
Rob.
Oh, Rob.
Rob, you know Rob.
Rob from Orange County.
Rob from Orange County.
Sure.
He came up. It was fun. It was glad. We took pictures. It was fun.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad it worked out well for you. Did any cats get adopted? Do you know?
I don't know.
Did you move any cats?
I don't think I moved any cats.
At the end of the day, Eddie, it's all about selling those cats. It's about moving the cats off the lot.
It's about pimping out that puss, you know?
You got to make some room for the next model of cat that's coming out later this year.
Got to get rid of the 2017s.
Everything's priced to go at Catapalooza.
So, this is a fun time. Thanks for asking.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. Thanks to the Garmy for showing up for Eddie Pence. He had two members of the Garmy, he told me, show up.
Very cool.
Thanks to you guys for tuning in to this show and showing up for this show every day. Appreciate that. I especially appreciate those of you who drop a line at the Ralph Report hotline, which, as I always tell you, is 1-833-HI-RALPH.
I like how you look up, too, when you say
it.
You
got it. In order to get the maximum pitch in your voice. You folks are leaving me messages 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I may not get back to you, but I listen to them all. And I'm excited to announce we have yet another entry in our jingle contest for this segment. Now, we played a couple. The Call Me one, the Blondie one, I think
that's
is my favorite so far.
Pretty hard to beat, man.
However, I do have to let you know that John Cooperman, does that name ring a bell for you?
That's
all?
Our holiday guy, right? Holiday.
John Cooperman is the guy who created, you're absolutely right, Eddie, the Holiday or Holiday theme song that has just, it lives in the hearts. It lives in the hearts of all the members of
it's
the
It's a one-hit one.
Well, we'll see, because he did come up with a jingle for this segment, for the phone, the hotline phone call message segment. And he may, in fact, be a one-hit wonder. It may have been lightning in a bottle the first time around. He's trying to recapture, I think, the flavor of his first hit. Well, I'll just play it. I'll let you decide. Okay, here's John Cooperman. You know him, you love him, from Holiday or Holiday. Here he is with his latest single, the hotline jingle.
Today, Ralph Garman will play some messages from 1-833-HI-RALPH. All you have to do is pick up your phone
or Skype
and leave a message at the tone, and Ralph Garman will play all of your messages on the Ralph Report. Woo-hoo, 1-833-HI-RALPH.
It's not bad. That's good.
It's not bad.
It's a little long,
but it is
good.
14 minutes
it's
long.
It's a little long. It's a little meatloaf.
Can you imagine
it's
playing that every day on the show before we get into the phone messages? People bitch now about the intros for Holiday and Holiday.
Yeah, they're like,
and they're like 10 seconds long.
They're like when you explain what we're doing.
This runs about 47 minutes. And I just don't think we could possibly... I think he's a little full of himself. I think he had one hit, and now he's writing a giant concerto.
It says, I can do anything for love.
Yeah, and I think I won't do that, is what I'm saying. John, love you, man. He came to the live show. We met him. John's a sweetheart of a guy. Swing and a miss on this one, I guess.
Hey, there's no shame being a one-hit wonder.
Not at all.
No.
And your career's not over. It's not saying you couldn't have another hit. We're just saying this one, I don't believe, is climbing the charts. That's all. So we're going to... I wanted to play it just to give it a shot, just to let it air.
Well, we're done with the show, though, now. We wrapped it up.
Because the show's only an hour, so we're all out of time. But thanks so much. Anyway, John, love you, but that's a swing and a miss there, son. All right, let's talk about the calls. We got one from Alex. Oh, Alex, I feel your pain. We talked yesterday to that girl, Sarah, who called in, and she admitted she was a looky-loo against her better judgment.
Mm.
Well, wait to hear Alex's story about the looky-loo in front of him.
Hey, Ralph, this is Alex. I was listening to your episode today when someone had called in about accidentally being a looky-loo. Well, as I'm listening to that segment, I'm in a traffic jam because of a wreck, and I'm just about to the home stretch, and I see the dumbass in front of me look over and then immediately run into the person in front of him, causing another goddamn wreck. Now, luckily, I'm right in the front of the line, and I just have to kind of go around. But, like, goddamn looky-loos just cause another wreck. Jesus Christ, keep your eyes on the road. Anyway, love you. Need it. Bye.
So this looky-loo in front of him is looking at the accident, not paying attention to the car in front of him that stops and plows into that car, creating yet another accident for more looky-loos to look at to slow down traffic even more.
Chain reaction.
It is a never-ending prophecy of hell.
We're our own worst enemy in this planet.
Oh, man.
By far.
So there you go. Just another reason why you should just keep your eyes forward and move it along.
Get home.
All right. Then we got a call from Jake yesterday on Sex University. We did talk about female orgasms and female ejaculations. Here's what Jake had to say.
Hey, Ralph. This is, what's a good made-up name? Jake, four-star general And I enjoyed your sex university today. You know, the myth that is the female orgasm. That was that's a good one. I thought we were doing truths and not lies. Oh. But, you know, keep up the good work and, you know, lick my balls.
Wow. Can you imagine the lucky lady in his life if he thinks female orgasms are a myth?
Hope
we're
no
wasting
licks,
our time talking
no
about
them. No one licks
them.
His balls.
Not exactly. Right, ladies. If a guy gives you a fake name, Jake, stay away from him. That's all I got to say. And lastly, this call. Well, Eddie, I hate to say this is going out to you.
What'd I do?
Pal. Well, yesterday
yesterday
was shakeout day.
Oh.
And we had a little discrepancy about how to handle the behavior during an earthquake. And Gloria is none too impressed with you.
Sure.
Hey, Ralph. It's Gloria from Covina. I'm going to have to smack down Eddie Pence right now.
Yeah.
God damn it, Eddie.
Yep.
Seriously, you're going to run outside of a perfectly safe building in the middle of an earthquake where the ground can open up.
Mm-hmm.
Where glass can fall on you and cut you to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Where live wires can shock you to death.
Tell him, sister.
You're safer inside.
Right.
Drop, cover, and hold, and just hang on. It's gonna be fine, Eddie. Thanks, Ralph. Love you. Mean it. Bye.
You're welcome, Gloria. You're reasonable woman. You woman who speaks sense to the senseless. And Pence to the penceless?
I'm claustrophobic, and if I get trapped in a little small space, I'm going to freak out.
You're going to be worse if you're cut to ribbons by falling skyscraper glass
a
power line goes up your ass.
I don't know.
I do know.
I don't know.
Anyway, thanks to everybody for calling out. I would play the jingle again to signify the end of that segment, but we just don't have time.
We could play it Monday.
Sorry, John. We'll put it on to patreon.com as a remix. All right, it's time to take a look at the big calendar here in the Batcave. Every day of the week, 365 days a year, has holidays attached to it. Not all of them are legitimate. That's why we break it down with holiday or holiday.
Holiday or holiday, please tell me what we celebrate. Ralph Garman.
Today for Friday, October 19th, here are your holidays. It's Evaluate Your Life Day. Oh, that seems like a tall order as I'm going into the weekend. Do I need to do that on a Friday?
That's what keeps me up every night.
Evaluate your life day. Holy
shit.
Why
would you want to do that? Move forward.
Can I not? Is that possible?
Just move forward.
They say there comes a time in every life where we have to take an accounting, a reckoning of the things we've done, the progress we've made, and the path we're on. During that evaluation, we may find that we don't like where we are. Me want to make changes to move forward with our goals. Maybe you'll find that you're making the progress you want to.
No.
And everything is moving along smoothly.
Mm-mm.
Most likely, it'll wind up somewhere in between. Whatever the case, Evaluate Your Life Day is a great opportunity to figure out where you are on your path.
I was performing for Cats two nights ago.
See what you've done? Evaluate Your Life Day?
I don't need to evaluate what
damn
I'm doing.
Damn you, Evaluate Your Life Day. You see what you've done to this man? All right. It's also National LGBT Center Awareness Day. If you are LGBTQI, there's a whole bunch of initials you might
be. It's getting longer.
Yeah. They have centers everywhere throughout these great United States. Community centers that will help bring the community together, and you can find counseling and help if you so need.
As always, with anything, if you need help, get help.
Yes. And these centers, these LGBT community centers are really, they're awesome. They serve about 40,000 people nationwide every week. And maybe you can even volunteer there if you happen to be gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender yourself. And you've been through some stuff. You can share what you've learned with folks at those centers as well.
If you feel you're alone in this world, there's always someone out there that can relate to you.
It's true. We all got the same problems,
more
or less. You know, it all boils down to the basic feelings behind everything. So the circumstances may not be the same, but if you're experiencing depression or loneliness or you feel isolated.
Anxiety, anything.
There's someone there to share that feeling.
Someone can relate to you.
So much easier to carry it together than it is to carry it by yourself.
Just find somebody.
All right. Today is also National Mammography Day. Mammography Day is not a photograph of your mom.
It's a boobs,
it's not
right?
Mammography.
It's not my mom.
It's mammography.
It's boob pictures.
It's the mammogram. It's the where they take photos of your breasts.
Where they flatten them down to pancakes.
Yeah, I've heard
brutal.
I've heard telltale stories about the brutal. The mammogram, and
I've
it doesn't
heard.
Sound fun.
Yeah, awful.
Imagine if they did that to our balls.
You would
imagine if you had a ballogram.
I would take testicular cancer.
You
I think
wouldn't want that.
As opposed to that.
It is part of National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. All of October is, and today's the day where we talk about early detection. That is the key when it comes to beating breast cancer, is early detection. And a mammogram can often detect a problem before there's any outward physical sign. So although it's good to palpate your breasts and do all the stuff they tell you to do in the shower, ladies, when you're checking out your girls there, but a mammogram can pick up on stuff that you can't even feel.
Yeah.
So
sometimes you have denser mammary glands and you can't really tell if it's a lump or not. You need the mammary gland.
And it can be scary. Sometimes my wife's been through it where they'll see something, it's a cyst or something. So you gotta live with anxiety for a little bit before it all gets cleared up. But it's better worth your knowledge than to live in the darkness and not know. So get those mammograms, ladies. I forget what they say. After 40, you should get it every year. Is that what it
is? I think it's 40. It's around that age.
Anyway, ask your GYN. What? Your OGBYN? it's early. I'm a little goofy because I got to catch a plane, so it's up early. Yes, so take care of your ladies. Ladies, it's National Kentucky Day. Hey, Kentucky, how are you feeling? I wonder if we have any Garmin members in Kentucky. We must. I think we got people everywhere.
Everybody's all over.
October 19th is National Kentucky Day. It recognizes the 15th state of our great union.
I love their chicken.
That's earlier than I thought.
Best chicken in the world. What's that?
Really? You're going to think KFC is that like actually...
Either that or Derby.
Yeah, they're known for the Kentucky Derby. They're the bluegrass state. They're great bluegrass music.
Love bluegrass.
The Appalachian Mountains. Fort Knox,
well,
where
the Appalachian
Mountains
run.
Gold. We keep all our gold.
We do
in
keep all
Kentucky.
Our gold there, don't we?
Yeah. So, Goldfinger, did you plan to steal all that gold? No, Mr. Bond. I plan to make mine more valuable. I love that movie. He irradiates all the gold in Fort Knox, so his gold will be more valuable.
So, it makes sense. It's like Gene Hackman knocking off California, so he has Arizona as beachfront property.
Kentucky is bordered by rivers on three of its four boundaries. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
And now you do. So to all our friends in Kentucky, salute to National Kentucky Day. And you know, I'd love to save the food-related holidays to the end, because it's always fun to see whether Eddie eats or not. This is legitimately a question mark.
Oh, we were two for two already this week.
So if you want to play, you were eating everything this week. But if you want to play along, and I know people love to, guess whether Eddie will eat or not. We're going to give you a little pause after this one. But I'm going to need my drum roll, because this is a legitimate question. We don't know. Not going to surprise you that I happen to love this. I don't know if you're a big soup guy or not. We've established you'll eat gumbo, that's for sure.
Right.
But the question is, will Eddie eat seafood bisque? Today is National Seafood Bisque Day. Seafood bisque. Now wait. Wait. Let people put down their wagers.
I know. I'm not giving anything away.
Bisque, for those who don't know, is a smooth, creamy, highly seasoned soup of French origin, usually made from, something from the crustacean family, like lobster or crab, sometimes shrimp.
Scrimps.
Sometimes shrimp or crayfish. And it is a French in origin. They think it comes from the coast, the west coast of France there, near the Bay of Biscay, where bisque, B-I-S-Q-U-E, probably originated. So it is a delicious, sometimes highly flavorful soup. It's thicker. It's a creamy soup made with different fish, shellfish. And for me personally, a good lobster bisque, I'm a happy, happy man. But we're not talking about me. We're talking about Eddie Pence here. Eddie Pence, what say you on seafood bisque?
No.
Why aren't you eating seafood bisque?
Because if it's got clams in it, I don't like clams.
I didn't say clams.
You said shellfish.
Not once did I mention clams. I didn't say it's not
lobster
clam
bisque.
Chowder. Lobster,
clam
crab,
gross.
Shrimp, or crayfish are the usual ingredients in a bisque. Most usually lobster or crab.
I'm usually not a big creamy soup person, so I don't really like creamy soups.
You like cream of some young guy. You like that?
That's the one
Chinese,
cream that I like.
That Chinese soup you like?
That's because I make it myself.
Come on, Eddie. It's so good. It's rich and creamy and thick and hot.
You know what? I would probably eat it. but I don't. I would never order it.
Well, then how would you get it? It would never come to your table.
If
how,
my wife's like, try this, I'd try it. And I'm like, that's
good.
And
you'd go, oh, man, that's delicious.
I'd be like, that's good.
What was I thinking my whole life?
She's like, do you want to order
aren't a bowl? Aren't I a dumbass, you'd say to yourself.
And I'd be like, no, just give me a regular lobster.
So there you have it, boys and girls.
Sorry.
No delicious lobster bisque.
Sorry.
For the vice host. What can you expect? That's today's holiday or holiday.
Holiday. Oh, holiday.
Now it's time for all the entertainment news with a segment I call. Ooh, that was my shutter went off prematurely there. I call it the show.
Oh, cream of some young guy got you on the
showbiz beat. ABC announced yesterday that they are planning a follow-up, reboot, sequel series to their wildly popular NYPD Blue. After all those years on the air, they're bringing it back. It was on for 12 seasons.
I thought it was on longer than that.
No, 12 seasons.
Longer than that.
And it was a great show. And a lot of the people involved in the reboot were involved in the original. Original series writers and executive producers Matt Olmsted and Nick Wooten are going to be writing and producing that show. Jesse Bochco, son of Stephen Bochco, who created the show along with David Milch, he's going to be on board producing and directing, and Dana Bochco, Stephen's wife, will also be producing. They have a pilot commitment from ABC, so I guess they'll have to see how it turns out. But interesting premise, and usually I balk at these. Whenever there's a son of series kind of thing, mm-hmm. where the son gets into the same business as the person, and that's the sequel, I would say, what are the odds, really, that they're going to follow exactly in the same footsteps as their father?
It's a weak premise.
This one is Andy Sipowicz's son, Theo, is a cop and is trying to earn his detective shield and work in the 15th squad where his dad did while investigating his father's murder. Apparently, Andy Sipowicz has been murdered
really?
In this version. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. The only reason I think it's okay is because I know a lot of cops. I knew a lot of cops growing up in Philadelphia, and a lot of their kids get into the same line of work because the families have generations of cops in their families.
No, that's true.
So of all the professions, cop seems to be one that does have a big hand-me-down factor to it.
Was the character Theo ever shown in the original series?
Oh, yeah.
It was?
Yeah. Theo was the son of Andy and I think the DA. Was it the DA or was it the... Did he have the kid with his next girlfriend? I can't remember. Yes, but Theo was around in the last couple of years of that series. So the fact that he's grown up and he's a cop himself makes complete sense.
Good work.
However, I think what this show really needs is a big dose of Officer Gruden. Officer Gruden appeared on that show.
Yeah.
I think he did about eight episodes. And the fans, I just think, loved him.
I mean, that's probably why they're bringing this back.
That's what I'm thinking. It's an opportunity to see what happened to Officer Gruden, to see if maybe he, I don't know, became a captain. Maybe he's the chief of police. We don't know.
Maybe commissioner of the police academy.
This is what we need to find out
with
this show.
Coming out with Sard.
Is what's going on with Officer Gruden, fan favorite Officer Gruden, or the character that I played, Officer Gruden. I often called him Officer Exposition because he would show up in the middle of a scene and just rattle off a lot of details about the case so everybody knew what was happening.
So you were Basil Exposition from Austin Powers.
I was indeed, yes. But I think give the brother a little help is
Wouldn't
what I'm
saying. Wouldn't it be great if Gruden got into politics and you were like mayor or governor?
Right? Who knows? That could be anything.
President.
Could be coach of the Raiders.
I don't think anybody wants that job.
When they called me Officer Gruden on the show, I'd done a half a dozen episodes, and they finally said, you're regular enough now, we'll give you your character a name. And they named him Gruden. I was like, why Gruden? At the time, it couldn't have been Reed? Is that
Coach thing, Reed? Coach Vermeil?
Anyway. I wish those guys great success. I loved that show, and I loved everybody connected with it, and I hope it's a big hit. Hint, hint. Wink, wink. Come on now.
Yeah, if it runs for 12 more seasons, we got to find out what happened to Gruden.
I'm just saying, if I was them, I would try to get some good luck going on the new series, maybe bring back some good karma from
the
old series. That's all. All right, let's talk about this. I cannot believe it's taken this long for this to happen. Are you familiar at all? Now, these books were meant primarily for girls, but are you familiar at all with the Judy Blume book series,
yeah.
Eddie?
Yeah, yeah.
Started in the 1970s, I guess, but Judy Blume is an author who created books for young women primarily and had wild success with her films and has, until this week, always turned down every deal to make a movie or TV series out of her books.
Really?
Never wanted to see her work dramatized in film at all. but they've just announced that her seminal 1970 book, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, is now finally going to be turned into a film. And I cannot believe it's never happened to her.
That's crazy.
But she put her foot down. She did not want it to happen, but she's changed her mind. She got in business with James L. Brooks, who, of course, as you know, is a director himself, but also creator of or the producer behind Simpsons and the Tracy Ullman Show and all that good stuff. And he worked in television for many years, Mary Tyler Moore. Very talented guy. They had a conversation, and he won her over, and they're finally going to produce Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which is a story about a sixth-grade girl who goes through puberty and all the stuff that sort of surrounds that.
Those stories need to be told to help little girls through those times.
And so. Those books are wildly popular, so I think there's generations of women who would like to see that made into a movie. However, then it carries the extra burden of being a beloved book for generations of women.
Yeah.
You know, do you fall flat? Does it live up to their expectations? It's tough.
It's hard.
Yeah. Speaking of being hard, see what I did there? I got us into a sex story. Remember Pam Grier? Smoking hot black actress Pam Grier, Cleopatra Jones. She was in Foxy Brown, right? Yeah. With Tarantino, was that the...
It wasn't Foxy Brown, it was Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown,
Jackie Brown.
It, yeah.
How did I know that?
I don't know, but that was impressive. Anyway, just a great actress. She was interviewed by Page Six this week, and she started talking... She's 69 years old now. Started talking about her sex life. She was a sex symbol, of course, on the movies.
Yeah.
Started talking about how her sex life has changed, and she said now that she's getting older, her orgasms have changed.
Better or worse?
We should have talked about this yesterday on Sex U. Different, just different. When she was younger, well, I'll let Pam Grier tell you all about her orgasms. That only seems fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're younger, your orgasms are quicker and you can have more frequently, but as you get older, they last longer. And so I think the longest one I've had was hours, and it made my teeth hurt. I'll never do that again. It was painful. I thought they're going to have to use a defibrillator.
So what? She had an orgasm for hours, and it was so intense it made her teeth hurt.
Oh, my God.
That sounds like the worst thing
that's
ever
awful.
Happened. That's not pleasurable at all. I would maybe rethink ever having sex again if that ever happened to me.
I mean, a male orgasm, you're incapacitated for the 30 seconds or 10 seconds or however long it's happening.
Yeah,
I couldn't
my
imagine.
Teeth don't start to hurt.
But you couldn't do anything.
Yeah, well, it's different for me.
I guess. Yeah, it'd have to be.
They don't have that explosion of energy the way we do. Where we're spent afterwards.
Can't do anything.
But an hour long orgasm where your teeth hurt?
You want to kill yourself.
I'm going to pass. And while we're talking about lady parts, Eddie's favorite rapper, Cardi B, is in the news. Cardigan Backyardigan. She just had a baby. Her baby's name, by the way?
Something Backyardigan?
No, it's not. You want to guess? Did you know what her... It's a baby girl.
Baby girl?
Not that it matters, because this name is not a real name, so you wouldn't be able to assign sex to it one way or the other. Culture.
Culture?
Culture with a K is her name.
K-U-L-T-U-R-E.
K-U-L-T-U-R-E. Culture. Which sounds like something in a lab, in a medical office. We have a culture. Your culture came back, and it's negative.
Culture so, B.
Culture B. Her baby, she's a brand new mom, and she was on Jimmy Kimmel this week. Jimmy's broadcasting out of New York. He's in Brooklyn, and he was broadcasting this week, had Cardi B on as a guest, and she was talking about birth, and Jimmy asked her, you know, was the experience harder or easier than you expected it to be?
Was childbirth easier or harder than you imagined it would be?
It was totally harder. She broke my vagina.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's a rude thing for her to do.
Yeah, but...
Broke her vagina, she said. I don't think she understands how that works.
She's a parent now.
Yeah,
she has a child.
She sure is. You know, she reminds me of Rosie Perez. Remember Rosie Perez?
Yeah, I remember Rosie.
How for like a minute, everybody thought it was really funny the way she talked, and she was cute and everything, and then it got really annoying.
And then she kept talking.
Yeah, she kept talking, yeah. Zuzu Twoopa. She used to talk about her car all the time. And lastly, we'll be talking about the movies a little bit later on in the show. But of course, this weekend, the big moneymaker is going to be Halloween.
Yes.
Everyone's going to see the sequel to Halloween, which is not a sequel per se in the sense that it follows the other seven films,
I think. It's a sequel of the original Halloween.
Yeah, it draws a direct line from Halloween from 1978 to this film.
Yeah, it's a tangent timeline,
right.
I guess.
And everyone's going to go. However, AMC is asking everyone to keep in mind... Well, I'll read their statement. In the spirit of Halloween, We at AMC love it when our guests dress up for the occasion, but a reminder that masks are not permitted at AMC. So you can't go to
Michael Myers.
You can't go to the screening wearing a Michael Myers
or
mask.
Or Jamie Lee Curtis mask.
For that matter, yes. And they also ask that you leave any machetes you might have at home.
Smart.
Weapons, real or fake, are not permitted at AMC as well. So enjoy the movie, but leave your mask and your machete at home, they're asking. And that's the world we live in, where they have to ask you to leave your weapons at the door. And don't wear any horrible serial killer masks. No gully masks, Michael Myers masks.
If they didn't say that, people would.
Why would they?
Because they're... Have you
why
seen...
Why are people bad is
I don't
what
know.
I'm asking.
I don't know.
Yeah. So if you're going out to see Halloween this weekend, just don't wear a mask and don't bring a weapon.
Most importantly, don't bring the weapon.
No, I think they're both equally
important.
Well,
the mask you can just sort of throw in your pocket.
No, because you're going to creep me out, and I don't want you wearing a mask when I'm watching Michael Myers. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on this day, October 19th. Peter Max, legendary artist Peter Max, is 81 years old today. If you know modern art at all, if you like it, you're probably a Peter Max fan. Michael Gambon, very talented British actor, took over the role of Dumbledore in the Harry Potter films. He is 78 years old today. Legendary country and music singer and songwriter Jeannie C. Riley is 73 years old today. She had a bunch of hits. Probably Ode to Billy Joe, I think, was a pretty big one. And then there's this one, too. No, I wouldn't put you on because it really did. It happened just this way. The day my mama socked it to the Harper Valley PTA. Harper Valley PTA.
Sounds like Loretta Lynn a little.
She does sound like Loretta Lynn. That song, Harper Valley PTA, actually birthed a series of TV movies as well with Barbara Eden.
Oh, really?
It was a story about a small town and this widow who's kind of young and sexy and all these guys are hitting on her, but the women all talk badly about her and say she's a tramp and stuff.
Oh, tramp.
People, right? John Lithgow is 73 years old today. He's a sweetheart. Ty Pennington. Host, of course, of Extreme Makeover Home Edition. He is 54. Actor Jon Favreau of Swingers, of course, and then he went on to be a very successful director. He brought us the Iron Man franchise.
Now he started the MCU, basically.
It's true. Now he's working on
Mandalorian.
He did Jungle Book.
Yeah, he did Jungle Book.
And
he's
now
producing
he's
the Star Wars series,
doing
Mandalorian.
The second one, right. Jeez, yeah.
The Mandalorian.
He's a busy man, 52 years old today. South Park co-creator Trey Parker is 49. Singer Jennifer Holliday is 58. She's an actress as well. Probably better known to fans of theater than of film or television. She was the original star of a Broadway musical called Dreamgirls that was based loosely on the legend of Diana Ross and the Supremes. And she had a song called And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going. That was the big number and hit from that musical. And I am telling you. One of those voices, just unbelievable, brings down the house. Comedian Chris Kattan from Saturday Night Live is 48 years old. Writer-director Jason Reitman is 41. Ciara Renee from Legends of Tomorrow played Hawkgirl on that show is 28. And singer Patrick Simmons of the Doobie Brothers is 70 years old today. Patrick Simmons was the singer pretty much before Michael McDonald stepped in and started singing on all their hits. Before that, it was Patrick singing songs like this one. Roll back water, keep on rolling. Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Roll back water, keep on rolling. Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Roll back water, keep on rolling. Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Great tune. Those are today's celebrity birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. But we're not done with the entertainment news yet, because we still have to check in with our pal from across the ocean, from the UK, it's Mr. Steve Ashton.
Oh, hello, Ralph. You know, you're the man who makes Prince William look like Prince Harry.
Oh, those royals.
Yes. There's a new Kingsman movie in the works, Ralph. Did you know?
I'd heard. I'm so excited. Hope they make them forever.
So, now, forgive me for the pronunciation. Ralph Fiennes will be getting into the trenches in the new Kingsman film. It's going to actually be a prequel that will explore the origins of the intelligence organization, the Kingsman. The third picture is currently known as Kingsman Untitled, and it will be set during World War One, and will focus on a man who would be Kingsman, a character to be played by Fiennes. Plot details on the film, which shoots next year, are sketchy, although we understand that it includes some fictional storylines involving the real Duke of Lancaster Regiment, which for more than a century has included Kingsman as a unique rank. It's the equivalent of private. Producer and director Matthew Vaughan and his team have started booking studio space, and it's going to be released hopefully by around November the 8th, 2019. Now, that date was originally claimed by Bond 25 before all of the upheaval and stuff that they went through with Danny Boyle and everything. But, of course, Fiennes is expected to be in that film as well. But up-and-coming actor Harris Dixon will join Fiennes for the third Kingsman movie. I'm really looking forward to that.
I think these films are brilliantly fun, entertaining, and clever, and I'm up for anything they do.
I'm not so sure about the World War One setting, though. For me, the sort of 60s sort of heyday for me would have been a bit more interesting, but I'm sure it'll be great. Victoria Beckham's in the news.
Oh, really? What's she up to?
Yeah. Well, she's revealed that watching Elton John perform live inspired her not to reunite with the Spice Girls. She was speaking to Australian Vogue about the decision. She said, "I was with Elton John this weekend and I told him, I remember sitting there very near to the front and looking at him singing those songs that he'd sung time after time, year after year. And his passion and his enjoyment was incredible, even after all of this time. A few nights later, I was on stage at Madison Square Garden with the Spice Girls, and I thought, it's almost like a waste of time. And I'm given this opportunity. I appreciate the time I've had with the girls, but I don't have what Elton can have after all of these years." She says there was nothing there other than my kids were in the audience and I wanted them to see Mummy doing the Spice Girls. The mother of four also added that the media attention around the Spice Girls reunion reminded her of how awful the industry can be, and presumably how awful her voice is when she heard herself singing. But when asked for comments, Sir Elton's publicist said the advice he gave her was to fuck off.
I figured as much.
Anyway, I've got to go now, Ralph. I'm off to Sheeran's house.
Oh, you're going to see your buddy Ed Sheeran.
I am. I'm going to sit outside and play the entire Elton John back catalogue. I'm hoping that will inspire him to stop once and for all.
Just like it did for Spice.
Exactly.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend.
You too.
And today is Friday. That means all new movies in the theaters this weekend. It's so hard to pick what to go see when there's so many new movies. We're here to help you out with a segment we call The Movie Beat.
Call them. Action.
Interesting documentary opening up this weekend called Transformer. It's the story of former Marine and world record weightlifter Matt Kroc Krasileski, and he was publicly outed as being transgender. And the reaction was pretty much universal to Matt. His, now her sponsors abandoned her. She was disowned by her parents. And she was banned from competing, although at the time she was the strongest man in the world. She changed her name to Janae, and this film follows Janae as she attempts to find her place in society. Can you imagine being what in some people's minds is the ultimate in masculinity?
The ultimate male.
One of the strongest men on the planet, and yet at the same time you were feeling totally like a woman on the inside. Oh, and he overcompensated with the bodybuilding and weightlifting throughout his life, and now he is torn in this way, and everyone who would be a support system for you abandons you and walks away.
That makes no sense how parents could turn their back on a child.
That like, is what's one, lost on me the most.
That's the one group that...
Here's a little moment from the trailer of this film. It's in theaters everywhere this weekend called Transformer.
I don't think I'm comfortable as an extremely muscular woman, but as a guy, that's the only way I'm comfortable.
Let's go, man. Come on.
Oh, there's just this feeling of being pulled between two worlds.
Hey. Lovely, hey. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, looks fascinating. Transformers, the name of that. Not to be confused with Transformers.
The which, crappy which Michael Bay.
Which is a different film. I think we have a Transformer. Can You Ever Forgive Me is the name of a new comedy. Well, it's kind of a dramedy, I guess. Melissa McCarthy stars. It's a true story. She plays an author named Lee Israel in this film, who made her living in the 70s and 80s by writing biographies of famous people like Katharine Hepburn and Dorothy Kilgallen and Estee Lauder. And then that dries up. People aren't buying her books anymore. And she starts a life of crime, basically faking letters from literary greats. She would write them on antique paper and then sell them off as originals.
Wow.
And made a lot of money doing it until they finally caught her.
Oh, man.
The movie is called Can You Ever Forgive Me?
No.
Richard E. Grant also stars in this film. It looks terrific. Jane Curtin is in this. Here's a little taste of the trailer.
Quite by accident, I find myself in a rather criminal position.
What criminal activity could possibly be involved in, except a crime of fashion, of course?
I'm embellishing literary letters by prominent writers.
I love his writing.
Particularly clever, don't you think? Caustic wit.
This is quite something. These are wonderful.
I thought so, too.
Name your price.
You were looking at 1 month's rent.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it does.
Very clever idea. Wildlife is the name of a new film directed by actor Paul Dano. It's his first time directing. Jake Gyllenhaal stars along with Carey Mulligan. This is getting rave reviews. The story of a family in the 50s, and the marriage is just falling apart in front of their teenage son's eyes when the whole family moves to Montana. Just looks like one of those films that just rips your heart out of your chest and then shows it to you before you die, and then you just leave the theater feeling much worse about yourself and all of humanity. If that's your kind of thing, then maybe this weekend you should check out Wildfire.
I think your father has a woman out here.
No, he wouldn't do that.
No? Why do you think men do things? They either go crazy or it's a woman.
Why men do things. They either go crazy or it's a woman.
That's what we're boiled down to.
Not wrong, by the way. It is Halloween time. That means we get some scary movies, including The Super, starring Val Kilmer and Patrick John Pfluger. Interesting premise for a horror movie. There is an ancient New York City apartment building. It's got all kinds of tunnels and things underneath it. Already I'm spooked out. Yeah. And the new superintendent is a guy named Phil Lodge, played by Patrick John Pfluger, who just happened to be a former NYPD officer. He's a former cop who's getting out of that line of work, and he starts becoming the superintendent of this building.
Does he know Officer Gruden?
He doesn't, but Gruden would have his back if he needed him. So he is there with his family, and he has to run this building. But there's another older, longtime super there named Walter, played by Val Kilmer, who is a little strange, to say the least. And when children start disappearing in the building,
oof,
all eyes turn to Walter. And this cop, former cop, has to try to find out what's happening in the building as the super.
What do you know about Walter?
Walter's our most senior soup. Best to keep an eye on him.
You don't belong here. How's the little one?
You spoke to my daughter?
Just enough.
Just enough. And Val Kilmer, I don't know what's going on. I know he's had some throat cancer or tongue cancer or something. He looks not good, and it works for this
like
role
a creepy
completely.
Old pedo.
Yeah. And lastly, while we're talking scary movies, Halloween. Not even a two behind it. Just slapping just Halloween, man. That's all it is. It's the sequel to the original. Jamie Lee Curtis returns to her iconic role as Laurie Strode, the young girl who all those years ago, 40 years ago, Michael Myers came a knocking, took her friends out, tried to take her out too, but they stopped him before it was too late. Sadly, the facility where he's being kept does not have the greatest security, I'm getting the sense, because I believe
and
he is back.
He slowly walks out of it.
And he is there on Halloween night. Jamie Lee Curtis returns. Judy Greer plays her grown daughter in this film. Apparently, the trauma that Laurie Strode has gone through has sort of ruined everything in her life. And the only thing she lives for is the day she gets a second shot at Michael Myers, and that's what she gets. Instead of playing a clip from the trailer, I'm playing a little piece of interview here. This is Jason Blum. Blumhouse Pictures is producing this sequel. And John Carpenter, the creator of the original film, talking about the history of Michael Myers' iconic mask that he wears in this film.
Michael Myers is a masked serial killer who, in 1978, killed three teenagers on Halloween night. He is the first masked serial killer in the movies. is. He's got an incredible calm when he attacks his victims. His mask is so frightening and has become a kind of iconic nightmare. There wasn't an enormous amount of thought that went into the famous Michael Myers mask.
We went up to a mask store on Hollywood Boulevard and bought a Captain Kirk mask. And we spray painted it and cut the eye holes bigger, and that was the shape's mask. William Shatner is responsible for Halloween.
There you go.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know
it
was, a Shatner mask?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Michael Myers' mask is a Captain Kirk William Shatner mask that they took and painted it white to make it look ghostly, and they glued some hair on top of it, and that's the mask they used all those years ago.
I didn't know that.
And has been used ever since.
That's
so
hilarious.
If it wasn't for Shatner, we wouldn't have Halloween. That's the big choice for the weekend. It's going to make all the money. It's Halloween time. Yeah. Go see, enjoy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Cut! Cut! Cut!
And before we send you off for the weekend, I did want to check in with those nice folks this week who sent me emails and left voicemail messages saying, I heard you were going to be on a Disney show this past weekend. We checked it out. Which character were you? We couldn't tell. And I said, well, the best way I can explain it is to play this little game we play called Who'd Ralph Play? Eddie's laughing already.
So
we
excited
even gotten,
to hear this.
We haven't even gotten to the jingle.
So excited.
Who'd Ralph Play? Who'd Ralph Play?
That's right. Who'd I play? You know, when you're a voiceover actor, one of your greatest goals is to work in a Disney production. I was able to do that last weekend. I did a Disney TV series called Elena of Avalor. She is a Latina princess, part of the Disney princess family. She's on the Disney Channel. Very popular show. If you've got a kid, if you've got a daughter between 5 and 10, then you probably know who Elena of Avalor is. And some time ago, they asked me to come down and voice a character on that show. And I did. I got to play a shape-shifting magical dolphin, a river dolphin.
A river dolphin.
Yes. The actual name of the race is the Malandros, and we are pirates, basically. We're like the mafia of the river.
So you're a bad guy?
I am a bad guy. And the leader of our evil shape-shifting dolphins is a character named Soloso, which in this TV show was played by Steve Buscemi.
Oh.
So I play Steve Buscemi's right-hand man, a character called Torpe. So for people who are wondering who I was last weekend on Elena of Avalor, that's who I played. Here's a couple clips. This is where I'm first introduced. And as I decided, well, you know, Steve Buscemi is such a funny, high-energy guy that if I was his right-hand man, it might be funny to play Torpe as a giant, stupid, hulking, sidekick, henchman character. So that's what I did.
Try to keep it together, Ocho.
Where do you think you're going, Serena?
Same place you're going, Torpe? To see Soloso.
No way I'm taking you to see... So seaweed makes me sneeze. It's a problem.
Yeah, I'm allergic to seaweed in the show. Every time I sneeze, I turn to a different animal. It's kind of a funny gag that keeps running throughout the episode. Another fun thing I got to do with Buscemi was there's a big musical number in every episode of this show. They have a big musical number. In this one, it was sung by Soloso and his henchmen, and I got to sing back up in a 50s-style doo-wop song with Steve Buscemi. And I had no idea Buscemi could sing as well as he did. Here's a little taste of the song called The Art of the Steel.
I'll handle this.
Now hold it right there.
Hey! What are you doing here? This was not part of our deal.
Oh, but it was part of mine. Because when you make a deal with Soloso, you better believe I'm getting more than you bargained for. Oh, you were up a river when you came to me, made an offer with real appeal. So you gave me your trust, now watch it go bust, and that's the art of the steal.
Yeah, that was a blast. It was so much fun. And lastly, here's Buscemi and I again, confronted by all of our enemies. And he gives the classic villain's question of, well, what do we have here? Not expecting a literal response from his boneheaded henchman. But that's exactly what he gets.
Well, what do we have here?
Three humans, two Serenas, and a really cute octopus.
Just get them!
what a blast to work opposite to him and to do that show. Just so much fun. And for those who wrote in, said, I literally couldn't tell which voice you were doing on the show.
Didn't sound like you at all.
That is the ultimate compliment. That's Thanks, great. Everybody. All right, that is it. Oh, wait, I got to do this for Eddie one more time. I got to play this one, please.
Dude, Ralph Play.
That's who I play.
Who else is singing with you in this?
Just me.
Is that just you?
Yes. It's me doing all the different layers.
So dynamic.
Right?
So dynamic.
Thanks so much for spending your day with us here on the Ralph Report. It is the weekend. Again, if you're around Calgary tonight, come on out and see me and Kevin Smith doing Hollywood Babylon at the Bella Concert Hall at Mount Royal University. Love to have you. What are you doing this weekend? You got any plans, Eddie?
I think we're taking the kid to Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, you're a brave soul.
It's not Spooky Farm during the daytime, not the scary one at night. The daytime is more Peanuts related.
Oh, and, it's not.
They dress up in their costume and they go around, they trick-or-treat at all the rides.
Oh, that sounds adorable. All right, so do it. Be a good dad. Everyone else, get out there, have a good time, take care of yourselves, and take care of each other. We'll see you back here on Monday, because I love you. I mean it. Bye.